Father, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, we praise you today. We worship you. We ask that you will grant us your grace. Lift our hearts up, Almighty God, that we might praise like the angels praise you, to worship you, to speak to you, Lord, to call on your name, for you are our help and you are our salvation. Thank you for the opportunity to praise you. Amen. Simple song, but it reminds us that we praise and worship all of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Father, we love you, we praise you, we adore you. praise, glory, and honor.
Pray that you'll bless our hearts, Lord. Help us to remember those around us that might be struggling and just lift them up to your throne, to your power, Lord God. Bless us, Lord Jesus.
praise God for our Lord Jesus, our Savior.
And when people are looking for help and asking for advice or whatever, I always say, you know, take it to the Lord in prayer, right? We have a help, a strength, yeah, beyond ourselves. What a friend. Thank you, Jesus.
Sins and griefs to bear.
prepare our hearts to go before the Lord in prayer as we sing our favorite Hosanna in the Highest. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Almighty God. Pray for us, Father. I pray for our strength in the Holy Spirit. I pray, Lord, that we would be able, by all that you brought to us, to stand against any forces of evil that might come against us. And Lord, we would have indeed the breastplate of righteousness, declared that we are righteous because we believe in Jesus. We'd have the belt of truth, Almighty God. Your gospel is truth. We want to go with that on our feet, God, going everywhere we can, to proclaim the goodness and greatness of the salvation brought to us by Christ. That we would have, Lord Jesus, the helmet of salvation. No idea would come to us, no thought would come to us, Lord God, without us knowing that Christ is our Savior, Christ is our Lord, He is our power and our strength, that you have ordained it from heaven, Almighty Father. I pray for us, O Lord, that we would always carry the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, That we would defend ourselves, O Lord, from lies, defend ourselves from falsehoods and half-truths, and stand in the truth of Almighty God. Father, we praise you. You've given us all that we need to stand before you. You've given us the shield of faith where, Lord God, if we will just hold up that shield and call upon the name of the living God and know that you see us and care for us, Lord, the fiery darts of the enemy would be vanquished. We praise you, Almighty God, that you prepared for us such a great salvation, such a great power in Christ. We want to pray for Sharon Rose and her sister that are traveling today. Protect them, God. Watch over them. Protect them against getting drowsy on the roads and just from other people and how they drive. Just pray for your peace and grace to be with them, Lord Jesus. Pray, Father, for those who are fighting spiritual battles and ask in the name of Jesus for strength and encouragement and power, Lord. Pray for the love of Christ to fill our hearts, Lord. That we would forgive and love and be your instruments of peace in each other's lives, that we would care for each other. Thank you, Almighty God, for all that you provide for us, for life and godliness. And we praise you for every good gift, Lord. We give thanks to you. Help us to be generous as you are generous to us, to be kind as you are kind to us. Thank you, Father, and we pray that your kingdom will come, Lord, that we will be yours forever. In Jesus' name. Amen. We did the prayer of Jesus in chapter 17. In chapter 18 and half of 19 is about Jesus on trial. And a lot of that is about him being in front of Pilate. The idea of a trial happening is kind of an interesting thing. Some people say that what God did in history was he set things up so that we could have a gospel that would spread to people all over that, you know, part of the world, the Mediterranean world. So you had the Greeks brought a language so that the Bible could be translated or written in Greek, and people all over the Mediterranean world read Greek. Then the Romans came and they brought law. And without a trial, you wouldn't have this picture of an innocent man being tried by a Roman governor, and the governor proclaiming him innocent, and the people having him killed, right? So that's really what John talks to us about, is the trial of Jesus. And Jesus, you got to remember, all the way through, he told his disciples what was going to happen. So Jesus knew the trial, and he also knew the verdict. He knew what they were going to do to him, so nothing comes as a surprise. It begins with him being out in the garden. He was out in the garden after they had the Lord's table, the upper room, and he had discussed a lot of things with the disciples. Then he's out in this garden, and it was a place that Judas knew about. That's what the text tells us, that Judas knew about it. He knew where Jesus would be. And so Judas came to the grove, guiding a detachment of soldiers, some officials from the chief priests and Pharisees. They were carrying torches, lanterns, and weapons. So here you have this very unfriendly group of people being led by Judas. It's like, you know, one of your 12 closest friends bringing an armed group to see you arrested. And they're ready to fight. They bring torches, lanterns, and weapons to see what was going on, to see Jesus and to take him into custody. Jesus, knowing all that was going to happen to him, right, went out and asked them, "Who is it you want?" Again, Jesus understood from beginning to end. When we talk about Christmas, you know, and the birth of Christ in Bethlehem, Jesus knew before Bethlehem that the cross was in front of him. Jesus knew through all of his ministry, all of his teaching, all of his healings, everything that he did, he knew where it was leading. It was leading to the cross, right? And so he goes out and he asks him, he says, "Who is it you want?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." And he said, "I am." Ego eimi, again, that name of God. Ego eimi, he said. And Judas, the traitor, was standing there with them. And when Jesus said, "Ego eimi, I am," they drew back and fell to the ground. Just a demonstration of the power of God, and that this was not a group able to take God into custody. This is God surrendering himself up for us, right? And so the group falls down. And again, he asked them, "Who is it you want?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." I told you again, ego in me, I am he.
or I am actually, is like, Jesus answered, if you're looking for me, then let these men go. This happened so that the words that he had spoken would be fulfilled. I have not lost one of those you gave me. And this is about, you know, in his prayer in chapter 17, he said, the only one that I lost was the son of perdition, Judas, right? And, but you think about this, here he is in this hour of test, this hour of great pressure. We see in other gospels how he prayed earnestly, like sweats dropping off him, like drops of blood, and just asking God, if it's possible, take this cup from my hand. And here he says, I'm concerned about my disciples. I want my disciples to be safe. So he says, why don't you let these guys go? And Simon Peter, being Peter, grabs a sword and goes after, you know, I'm going to fight for the Lord. It's kind of interesting how Peter reacts in this time, in this moment. And in contrast to what we see in Acts, right? And we'll talk about that a little later. But the idea of Peter not knowing what to do, but he decides, I'm going to do something. And he pulls a sword and he starts to attack. And then Jesus tells him, you know, no. You know, Jesus commanded Peter, put away your sword. Shall I not drink the cup the Father has given me? Some of you have been around here and you know what that means.